Am I on? Yeah. All right, so Josh just said, Pastor Ryman wanted me to preach. So actually there's, when somebody preaches, you know, it could give everybody something different. And one of the things that in my heart and what I kept hearing this morning was purpose, you know, having a purpose. I don't know if anybody else got that, but it seemed like he mentioned having a purpose about 15, 20 times this morning to me anyway. So that got me thinking. Yesterday I actually texted my old pastor up in Connecticut, Pastor Benson, just because I was reading my devotions, and something that he always used to tell us was, you know, find out what God wants you to do and go do it. So yesterday I was reading, and some verses in John came together. I'm doing a study in John on a certain topic, but something else kind of came to light. So I've got a few minutes here, so we'll go through them and kind of tie it to, I don't know, did anybody else get purpose out of this morning? Or was I the only one who heard that? Amen. I was okay. Anyway, if not, you'll hear it now. So let's pray, and then we'll get in the Word. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for just having a church that we could come to, Lord, and open your Word and worship and praise you, Lord, and ask that you help us to be focused on you, help us to be submissive to your Word. Lord, help us to just want to be more like Christ every day as we go into the world tomorrow on our jobs or just whatever we do through the week. Help us to be a good testimony and a lighthouse in this world. And Father, help me to have clarity of thought, Lord, just these few verses, and help them be a blessing to somebody. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 31. So it says, In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. So we're going to look at that word work and finish. And of course, you can't read that without noticing it's his work. Amen. You know, Jesus was given work from the Father to do. It was the Father's work. All of us, going back to that saying that Pastor Benson would say, you know, we get saved, we got work to do. My job's going to be different than brother in the front, brother in the back, in the middle. We're going to have different jobs, but we all have work to do, and it's all his work. It's all God's work that he gives to us to get done, get accomplished for him. So, let's just jump over to John chapter 5. And again, focus. So think of it this way: you get saved, and you get kind of your the work that God puts on your heart. When I say get saved, not like the first day you get saved, you're gonna get it, but somewhere along when you decide you want to follow God, and he puts that burden on your heart. And it's his work that you have to do. And then you go about doing the work. And then John chapter 5, look at, we'll just start in verse 32. There's another that bear witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was burning in a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. So as you're going along your walk, and you keep doing these works, that's going to build your testimony. That's going to build your reputation in the community. Amen. You know, just wherever you come into contact with people. And you want to have, the book of Titus has a lot of great things on good works, but you want to have a pattern of good works. You want people to see what you're doing. And obviously, you know, God's watching you more than anybody else, but you also don't want to be a detriment. You know, I got saved because somebody that I was running with in the apartment complex, He went down to a youth camp. He got right. He came back, and things changed. Before coming out to play ball, he would read his Bible. If he was reading, he wouldn't stop to go play ball, and things like that. And eventually, that, you know, definitely seemed odd and started something, but that was that pattern of good works that he was establishing in his life. So you get your work from God, you have to get working on it, you do it, and you do it, and you do it, and as it says here, the works which the Father have given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Eventually, you keep on those works, you keep on them, and people are going to see something. And, you know, the more you read your Bible, and the older I get in Christ, too, you notice that, and you learn that everybody knows. At some point, everybody knows they need to get saved. Amen. It's whether they want to submit to the gospel. Amen. You know, it's a funny way that's phrased about submitting to the gospel. That knows, if you're going to submit, you know that there's a problem. Amen. You know you have to do something. It's just whether you want to swallow your pride, whether you want to, like it says, just submit to it. So now we get those. So you have your beginning where the Father gives you his work. Remember, it's always his work to do. And then as you're going through life, you're doing them, and the works you do are presenting your testimony, and it's showing people God, you know, through your life. So then let's look at John 17 in verse 4. And this ought to be, you know, as you're dying, and of course, we always say what Paul says, you know, I've finished my course, which is also great, but just to keep it in John and keep it with Jesus Christ, look at John 17, verse 4. You know, I have glorified thee on the earth, which again, that's a great thing to do for God. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. So think of that and then go back to John 4:34. You know, let me read it so I don't mess it up. So what's he say there in John 4:34? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John 17, 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. You know, if we can get those two and then that verse in between where we're just doing those good works, we're doing those works that the Father has us to do and establish that testimony, and then at the end of our life, you know, just think of it. Think of you being on your deathbed for that and you looking up, you know, looking to heaven. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. I mean, that's part of, there's nothing else he had to do. So imagine you're about to die, and you could honestly, with a clear conscience, clear heart, look up to heaven and say, I've done everything. There's nothing else you wanted me to do that I haven't gotten accomplished. So, just some quick, something from reading the other day, and like I said, it really stuck from what Pastor Benson says about find out what God wants you to do and go do it. So there you have in the book of John, 4:34, and then chapter 5, I forget what verse it was, let me look real quick, just to say it again. So 4:34, John 5:36, and then John 17:4. So we get those three verses just in our daily walk. Real simple. It doesn't have to be as complicated and as hard as we make it. So, amen. That's what the guy, Lord gave me.
Huh? Oh, yeah. God's got a job for all of us, amen? Amen? Every one of us got to fulfill the job and do the job. I've got a job, you've got a job. And we got to stay with it, stay with the job God's given us. I was talking to somebody, and they said, how long have you been pastoring church? I said, 31 years. They said, man, usually pastors move on after 5 years. I said, he never gave me no other orders. Amen. And I just got to finish. Keep serving the Lord. Keep going. So how much longer do you think you'll go? I don't know until he tells me to quit, until he tells me to move aside. And that's what I plan on doing. I've told this church, I said, Lord, if there's something else you want me to do, I'll do it. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. If you want me to do something else or you want me to add something to it, I'll do it. And what most people is, like, they just don't want the job. They don't want to do a job. And serving God, I tell you what, you're talking about benefits, man. You're talking about the benefits that they're out of this world. Amen. Serving the Lord. You know, people want to get a job with good benefits and all that stuff. And serving the Lord is, he got good benefits. He'll take care of you. And you take care of his work, he'll take care of your work. He always will, always has. So that's why, you know, if God's giving you a job to do, just do it. And just keep doing it. I don't need you to pat me on the back. And thank God, I appreciate you do when you do. I thank you to say, oh, preacher, you're doing a good job. I thank you. Appreciate that. But I don't need that to keep going. A lot of pastors got to have that to be able to keep going. I've heard about churches, you know, getting a vote of confidence. They got to get up and get a vote of confidence. And until the Lord tells me to stop, unless you all kick me out, that's, you know, I'm going to keep going. Amen. And so I was talking to a young man the other night, JR. You know who I'm talking about, JR. And I talked to JR, the church down there, he got saved at. And Friday night I was talking to him. I said, JR, he said, man, it's funny you called me tonight. He said, I've been thinking about the church. And I said, boy, you need to get over there and help him. And he goes, did God tell you to call me? I said, I was just thinking about you, boy. I was just thinking about you. And I said, that church is struggling. They need your help. He said, preacher, I already surrendered to go. I'm going to do it. I said, good, good. And JR was a bus kid, and he's the one that got saved on a bus route coming to bus. He caused all kinds of trouble. He was a bus kid. He had no shoes or nothing like that, and they gave him shoes, and they helped him out. They bought him suits. He got saved, ended up being a bus captain, and then he went to Bible school. Linda and I stopped by there years ago, and I think it was Joe might have been in Bible school at the time, Joe and Rebecca, and then Ken and Tiffany went down. And I stopped by the church and preached for him on a Wednesday night. And they were talking about building this new building and everything. And I preached for him. And then Ernie Mitchum came up to me and said, there's a young man here. He's 16. And he wants to go to Bible school. And Linda already said to me, make sure we don't pick up nobody. Make sure we're not taking nobody with us and all that. I said, oh, okay, no problem. And so I stopped there. Ernie said, this boy wants to go with you real bad. And I said, oh, man, I told Linda I wasn't going to take nobody. So, anyway, JR, he came to me. I said, well, Ernie, I said, he's only 16. Wait till he's 18. I'll come back and take him down there to Bible school and let him check it out. So JR and Ernie said, well, brother, I'll pay you gas. I said, no, I don't want your gas. I don't need the money. I don't need that. I said, we can do it. So finally, I agreed to it. We're riding down the road. He's in the back seat. He's talking up the storm. And Linda's sitting in the front seat, and she's looking over at me like this. Yeah, and JR, he's got that mountain kind of accent, and we're riding down the road, and I stopped and preached at two other churches. I went to Eddie Wyatt's church, and I went to a guy named David Woods with Mark McGahee, and we went there, and every one of the pastors was different, and he said to me later, he said, you know, if you mention this preacher and mention that preacher, this preacher don't like that preacher, and this preacher don't talk about this one, and he said to me, he said, Brother Allen, he said, why everywhere we go, been, he said, all these preachers talking about this one and talking about that one. I said, oh, just don't pay attention to that. Amen. You just don't pay attention to it. I said, I love all them guys. I said, I go around preaching for them. I've been to their churches. I said, but you don't let that bother you. You just keep going. You just, you know, you can like this preacher. And you can, Michael Payton used to get upset because the boys wouldn't mess with Michael Payton. And Michael Payton at the time used to love, what's that guy's name? Phil Kidd, he loved Phil Kidd. And some of the guys, we was at down in North Carolina or something, and some of them started running Phil Kidd down. And Michael, he had that red hair. He was fired up. He come to me, preacher, they're talking about my hero. And I said, Michael, don't let it bother you. Don't let that bother you. And so I said, you just take it. The Lord's teaching you, boy. But anyway, JR goes with us. And he comes home the first year. He come home from Bible school, and y'all have heard me tell the story. I was there at his church. I stopped by there and preached for him, and they were having JR Day. They were having, you know, where the church honored JR. He just, first year Bible school, he finished. And that was the first year he was home, and he was going home, help to youth camp. His father shot his mother and killed her while he was at camp. And I thought, I called Ken, I called Joe. I said, my God, that boy's going to have it hard. And he's not going to make it. He had two accidents when he gets down to Bible school and totals vehicles. And man, he didn't get his license right before he went. He totaled, not his vehicles, he told it, he got hired, and the people that hired him, he totaled their vehicle. And guess what? He got fired, too. So I thought, this kid ain't going to make it, man. He's not going to make it. I call him up, and he's crying on the phone about his mother. And then his father goes to prison. And then he called me, and when he went to go see his father, and before he went into the jail, I prayed with him. And when he came out, I prayed with him. And I just called him the other night and said, boy, you need to get over here and help that church. He said, I will. I will. And because that church is struggling. And I don't see no church go down. I really don't. They owe $1 million, man, but they're in debt up to their neck. And I just don't want to see the church go down. But we've got a job to do. We all do. We've got a job to do. And sometimes, you know, when you're working on a job, you got people that rub you the wrong way. You got people that do different things. You got to keep doing your job. That's what you do. And you just keep working, keep doing what you're supposed to. And you got a bus route. You got to, whatever you do, you got whatever you do, just do it. Jack Hiles said something that really stuck with me. He said, God never tells you to quit something to do nothing. He said, God, whenever God says for you to quit something, he's giving you something better to do. You don't quit something to do nothing. So you just keep going and keep working. And so the Lord will use you. Amen. Who else wants to get something tonight? Who else? Come on, Alex. Now, you just raise your hand, or do you really have something? Okay. All right. Come on. All right.
Well, if you could, please turn to Genesis chapter 28. That's where it is. Genesis 29. Verses 29, we'll start reading there. Start 30. And he went into also Rachel, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. And Leah served with him yet 7 years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, and Rachel was barren. Good, please turn to I apologize, my little mixed up here. I didn't write this down yet. Verse 19. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. Well, the reason I show you those verses is that when Jacob was running from Esau, he went to go find a wife. His mother told him, go to my brother, get away from them. He meets them, he sees them at the field, he goes to help them to water the sheep. He sees Rachel. Rachel was, make sure I'm saying that name right, she was beautiful. So he sees a beautiful woman, but in their country, in their way they married, the oldest one was married first, not the youngest one. So he wants the beautiful girl. He sees the beautiful girl and wants to go after her. Of course, he was deceived. He worked for the wrong one. He was given Leah. But if you read through it, Rachel was an idol worshiper. Leah was not. When it came down to it, Leah glorified Jesus, glorified God. But Jacob hated Leah. He hated her. He loved the beautiful one, but the beautiful one was a thief, an idol worshiper. And at one point in time, Jacob decided to get rid of all the idols from all his people. Rachel still didn't give up her idols. It was never said that she ever gave up the idol that she stole from her father. Not only that, she was about to get somebody killed. She hid the idols that she stole in a camel. Jacob said, whoever you find those idols with, kill them, not knowing that the one he thought was beautiful was the one who stole it. Not only that, she didn't hide it in her stuff. She hid it in somebody else's. So she could have gotten somebody murdered for her love of the idols. And not only that, when he went to, when Jacob said he tried to take all the strange gods from his, all the baby that was with him. He's going into God's country. God's taking his journey. He buried all the idols underneath of a tree. It still never said that Rachel ever gave up her idols.
That's right.
And I've been thinking about this because in my own personal life is that every guy, every person, I'm pretty sure every young person, they want a Rachel. She's beautiful. You want somebody to look on the outward appearance. You always look on the outward appearance. You're always looking on the outward appearance. But the problem was, Leah worshiped God.
Amen.
Rachel was beautiful, but she was an idol worshiper. She was a servant of the devil. In all honesty, she did not serve God. She served the world. The one that was hated brought forth Jesus Christ. The one that was hated of the world, Leah, is in the lineage, brought forth the son, brought her children, and her children's children brought forth Jesus Christ. So a lot of times we get ourselves mixed up. We get looking more as who looks the part.
Yeah.
Who looks the part?
Oh yeah.
But who in the heart is the part?
Amen.
Who in the heart is serving the Lord and wants to do it with a pure heart? Guys will go off of what they want to see. Women will go off of what they hear.
That's right.
Women will off go what they see, but more about what they hear.
Amen.
You can hear a talk, but does somebody walk the walk?
Amen.
She might look the part, but in her heart, does she serve? Does she have a servant heart? Does she enjoy to serve others? Or does she enjoy talking about others to glorify herself? Oops.
That's good. Amen. Marry an ugly woman. Amen. Exodus chapter 13.
Amen.
Just a couple quick thoughts and I'll be out of the way. Exodus 13. And we'll start at verse 5. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, in land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast unto the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall be no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy courts. Verse 8, and thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that when the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. First thing I want to say is that a lot of times young Christians and Christians that are raised up in church, myself, I was one of them, you don't understand what God brought your parents from. You don't understand what God brought somebody else from, and you get comfortable. You just get in church, and everything's convenient for you. Proverbs chapter 30. Switch over real quick. Look at Proverbs chapter 30. There's a couple cross references to prove what I'm saying. Let's back it up. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 8. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. The problem is with second and third generation Christians is that we've become comfortable. Amen. We've been comfortable with what we got. It feels good to play the part, does it not?
Mm-hmm.
It feels good to come to church and say, hey, I'm doing right. I'm serving the Lord. I'm in church on Sunday morning. Like Brother Alex has said, I'm playing the part. I look good. I got my shirt and tie on. I got my dress. I'm in church Sunday morning, but that's where it ends.
Amen.
When we walk out the door, that's it. Sometimes maybe we need to pray that the Lord will not bless us, but take some things from us.
Amen.
Take the things out of our way that are keeping us from them.
Amen.
If you go out on the street or at a gas pump or wherever you go and you try to pass out a tract, What's the number one thing they say to you? No, I'm good. Revelations 3. Let's look at this real quick. Revelations chapter 3. This is the church age that we're in right now. The Laodicean church age, chapter 3. Revelations 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. The beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Feed me with food convenient, right? I would thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. God's not doing nothing with this generation. God's not blessing us. He's not doing anything with our generation because we're just cold. We're not freezing cold and we're not hot. We're just like salt water, man, out the tap. You ever been sick and your mom tell you, gargle with salt water to help you? Man, it's disgusting. Hey, brother, it's disgusting. And I know that's how God feels with this generation. My generation, that's how he feels with us. We've been raised up in church and we've had all the blessings of serving God and all the blessings that our people come behind us went through and the stuff they went through so we could be here. And now here we are, and what are we doing with it? Amen. We're idle. We're idle. We sit in the market all day idle. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I'm telling you today, right now, the poorest man in America, you think I'm lying? Go out on the street. You see these bums, they all got phones. They're homeless. They got nowhere to live, but yet they got a phone. And they can see what's going on across the world. They can see what's going on in Tokyo, Japan, in Asia, in Russia. They can see the news, whatever's going right in their hand. I have need of nothing. And know it's not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire. So on. We're convenient. It's convenient to live the way we live. We're blessed. We have everything we need. And we're not doing nothing with it. And the Lord's going to judge us for it. Let's read down. Let's skip down to verse 11. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee, unto thy fathers, and shall give it to thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast. The male shall be the Lord's, and every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of man among the children thou shalt redeem. Verse 14, and it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass when Pharaoh would hardly let us go that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beasts. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. Second thing I want to say about it is that we're failing. We're failing as a generation to tell our children and the ones coming behind us what the Lord brought us from. We don't need to brag on the sin that God brought us from. We just need to talk about how good God is and where he's put us at now. I know as a Christian growing up in church, I wasn't saved. I thought I was saved. I lived my whole life thinking I was saved. Why? Because I said some prayer. It wasn't from my heart. I didn't know what it was about. I just said, well, that's what we're supposed to do. And we live in church and grow up in church all our life. And as parents and as adults in this church, we're not doing our part. We're of a mixed multitude here. Some of us are living this way, and some of us are living that way. And we're talking about let's be like-minded, but our minds aren't on the mind of Christ. Amen. Our minds are on what we want and what we want to succeed in this life. And when we're done, then we'll give to God. By that time, your kids are grown up and are out of the house, and it's too late.
That's right.
You say you don't want to spoil it for my kids, but you tell them about the Easter Bunny. They think he's real, a pagan religion. You tell them about Santa Claus. You think that's real and everything else. And then when they're old enough and they find out that it's not real, and then you tell them and you expect them to believe Jesus Christ is real.
That's right.
The fairy man in the sky is real. How are they going to differentiate? How are they going to think any different about the two things? If we don't tell them, we're failing as a generation. Last thing I want to say is verse 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. The thing I want to say about it is sometimes you get bitter at God, and you say, why isn't God doing the things that I want him to do? God knows what's best for us. Sometimes you're praying for something, you get mad because why isn't God doing this for me? But maybe that's not God's will for your life. Maybe God's will for your life is just to shut up and go on about your business and do what you're supposed to do. And God will lead you if you're praying for his will in all sincerity of heart. Bible said a righteous, fervent man's prayers are heard, right? I know I didn't say that exactly right, but you know what verse I'm talking about. If you're living for the Lord and you're doing right and in all sincerity and you're asking God to guide you, why are you mad when he's showing you in a way you don't want to go? He's taking you in this direction, and then hindsight is 50-50, right? And you can look back and see, oh, well, that's why God did it. Well, you know that. You've been through it before. Well, why is it any different today? Amen. And that's all I want to say about it. You just got to trust God. Amen. Live for him and raise your kids the right way, and he'll bless you.
Amen, brother.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. So if you would, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 13. This is something that we heard at New York camp, and this has stuck with me ever since. And then a couple weeks ago when I heard Jesse preach on something kind of like this, also stuck with me, so I just wanted to give this to you. We're going to start in verse 1. It said, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard to do him anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab." And so on, the rest of the verse. The whole point of the message when I had first heard it, it's called, "But Amnon had a friend." And it really stuck with me because back then, and you know, even now, I hate to admit it, but even now, I'm going to a public school, so there's not a whole lot of people there who actually go to church. There's not a whole lot of people there who know really who Jesus is, and I know it's my job because I'm one of the only, like, I think 10, 15 Christians in that school maybe, and one of the only five or so that's actually living right in that school. So I know it's my job to definitely make sure that I'm telling everybody who Jesus is. And it was talking about he had a friend. His name was Jonadab. And if you read on for the rest of the chapter, Jonadab gets him to lay with his sister and then ends up telling on him about it and gets him killed over what he had originally told him to do. And it was almost as if he had, like, backstabbed him. And, yeah, set him up. And if you would, go over to Galatians 4. Jesse said this. This stuck with me. Well, actually, no, it's Galatians 5, sorry. I'm going to go with verse 9 first. It says, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." So it's saying that just a little bit of even just a little bit of wickedness can turn a whole group of Christians into wicked sinners, not want to live for the Lord anymore. Just that little bit could turn you back. And if you go to verse 7, it says, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you?" And he said something in specific that stuck with me the whole message. He said it wasn't what did hinder you, it was who did hinder you. You know, I know a lot of these kids in this church, they are homeschooled, but what about outside of church when they just, you know, have friends they hang out with? Are they living the way that they should? Are they reading their Bible every day? Have they been doing what they need to? Have they been praying all the time, asking the Lord what he wants them to do? Amen. Have they been living right or not? And even you adults, you know, when you go out there and you have your select group of friends, are they all living right? I know Michael Shane was talking about it. He said he was looking at a picture back of, I think it was a youth camp back a couple of years ago. He said there was only like 3 of the people in that picture of his friends that were actually still in the ministry out of 5, I think he said, 5 or 6. And, you know, that just shows how, if he had stuck with them, I highly doubt Michael Shane would be the youth pastor that he is right now. Amen. I highly doubt that if Pastor had stayed with all the people that he used to hang out with, he'd be the pastor that he is right now. Amen. And you know, I just want to ask you guys, give you something a little bit to think about it. Who are you hanging out with that might not be the best influence, you know? Who are you hanging out with that could hinder you from doing what you need to do? Because I know Amnon was Old Testament, but he laid with his sister. His sister. Like, that, I don't know, that's just weird. It's weird. You think, oh, I'll never do that, but like Pastor says, go out and sin for a little bit and see where you'll end up. It's never gonna end well. So I just wanted to give you that little bit just to think about, you know, who are you hanging out with that might not be the best? And this also goes for me too. You know, I'm not just saying just you guys only. I'm not saying I'm the perfect Christian and whatnot. But there are definitely some people that you might want to stop hanging out with. And you don't want to just stop hanging out with them or just stop talking to them. Pray for them. You know, maybe one day they will end up going into church and they will get saved and they will live their life for the Lord. I can tell you if there was a couple of people back when Pastor was young who knew Pastor and they were Christians, I highly doubt that they would expect Pastor to grow up and be a youth, or not a youth pastor, be a pastor of a church. But it's happened because he heard the word. So just don't stop praying for them, but don't do what they do. Don't sit there and listen to them. Like they were saying, you only want to, whenever you get into a bunch, you don't want to ask someone else for advice. You want to ask the Lord for advice. And that's something that Pastor showed me, even though he hasn't directly told me. You know, every time that he's gotten into a situation, he's always prayed for something. He's prayed that the problem can be fixed. I remember on the way back from camp, something happened with the bus that we were taking down, and we pulled over. He said, everybody, let's pray. Something's wrong with the bus. We prayed, and then not even 5 minutes later, we had it all fixed, and we were back on the road. So, like I said, it's not what did hinder you. It's not how did you get hindered. It's who did hinder you. Just think about that. And if you understand who exactly it is that, you know, might not be the best example, pray for them. You know, pray that God can show them the way that they need to go. Like he was saying, maybe God will show them their purpose in their life and that they'll start actually doing their works. They'll start off with John 4, then move to John 5, and then hopefully they can get to John 17.
Just, they're saved, but they're not living for the Lord. And they don't want nobody to know it. They don't want nobody to know they're a Christian. And they go to church. I used to have a guy who used to run around with us, and y'all have heard me tell him about his name, David Belcher. David Belcher was big old boy. He's about as big as Earl. And David used to run around with us, drinking, carrying on. I used to pull up in front of his house, and I could tell his mother didn't like me. His father didn't like me. None of them liked me. And I you know, looking at him now, I wouldn't like me either. And David would come running. I'd beep the horn. David come running. And David used to run around with us, drinking, carrying on. I told you about it. We're sitting in a truck one night or a car. I forget what. We was getting ready to do something bad. And David was sitting there, had his head down. And David, we were smoking junk and everything, and was getting. And David said, it ain't right. It ain't right. It ain't right. And I looked over at him, and I said, what's the matter with you, man? And he looked back at me. He said, nothing, nothing. He didn't have enough guts to tell me that he was a Christian. He didn't have enough guts to tell me that he wanted that one. And my brother gets killed. He came to the house, but he didn't have enough guts to tell us about Jesus. And he sat on the front porch and cried. Big old boy just sat out there, cried. After I got saved, he came to the house and tried to witness to me. He was still afraid. And after I stood up and I said, David, I got saved. And man, he started crying and screaming, picked me up, swung me around. And he was so happy. He was a Church of God preacher now. And David's the Church of God preacher. I don't know where he's at, but he used to run around with us. And he's my age, so I ought to look him up. I really do. I ought to look him up. But it's a shame. It's a shame that, you know, he had all the opportunities, had everything, but he just, too much is given, much is required. And kids are raised in Christian homes and have all, they have all the advantages, but they just throw them, flush them down the toilet. They got all the advantages. And here you got a young man that come out of the world and got saved and didn't know nothing about Jesus Christ, wasn't raised in church, nothing like that, and they get on fire. He said, well, they'll get cold off. I had people tell me that. I was in a youth group, and I had them tell me, say, oh, you'll cool down. You'll cool off. I said, I hope not.
Amen.
I hope not. And they would all tell me that. And I said, it's because you ain't got no guts. That don't mean I ain't going to have it.
Right, amen.
And what happens is I found Christian kids ain't got the guts to stand up. They don't have the guts to stand up against the world.
Amen.
And you ought to give them an opportunity, a chance to try to do it. I want to take the kids out next Sunday night at 4 o'clock. We'll get on the bus. Just go out and pass out some tracts. Yeah, and I did that with my kids growing up. I took my kids so they wouldn't be ashamed. I took them out, passing out tracts, took them out and was street preaching with me and everything else. I took them with me so they never would back up. They didn't have to back up. They didn't have to back up when they faced the world. The world's intimidating, very intimidating, especially for young Christians that's been sheltered. You've been sheltered. I took the kids out, street preaching, showed them. I said, see that? That's a wicked woman right there. I'd show them, that's a wicked woman. Look at her. Look at her.
Amen.
Look the way she's acting. Look the way she's drinking. I would say stuff like that. And I'd point it out to them and show them, that's a wicked person. Stay away from them. They're going to try to get you to drink. They're going to try to, they always laugh. They're, come on now. Come on, man. Ain't going to hurt you. Yeah, come on. You know, and they always do that stuff. And they try to get you to fall.
Right.
Especially if you work with them. If you work with a bunch of people that lost and they know you're a Christian, they'll try everything they can to get you to mess up, and so they can laugh at you. So you don't realize that the people that you think that's your friends in the world, all they do is laugh at you.
That's right.
Especially if you're not real. If you're not real, they mock you. And I've seen it happen over and over and over again, people being mocked by the world because people claim they go to church and they claim they're Christian. Now, what I'd say, I said, I'm not kicking you, but I'm not kicking. I'm not kicking at all. I'm saying, hey, man, don't you get tired of it? Don't you get tired of the world mocking, making fun of you, pointing your finger at you? And this day and time, he said, a generation. I've said this a while back. It seemed like a generation's passing away. But you still get some kids getting saved. You get some kids grow up in church, still got guts, still stand up and witness, and they don't care what anybody thinks. You got to get the idea, I don't care what they think. But most Christian kids get this idea, I don't care what Christians think. I'm going to live the way I want to live. You should have the idea, I don't care what the world thinks. I care about what he thinks.
Amen.
Too much is given. Much is required. And God's not going to let you get away with it. I'm telling you. I'm telling you right now. He will not allow you to get away with it. You'll get away with it a little while, but he will not. If you're saved, you are not going to get away with it.
Amen.
I will not get away with it.
Amen.
So, like I said this morning, we're bought with the price. All right, we're going to stop right there. We're going to let you go. Let you get out of here really.